Tuf Yud Aleph, Sif Dalet. In Oysen Mugmer, we can't make Mugmer on Yom Tov. What is Mugmer? The Hainu. The Fazer Mine Besomim Al-Gukholim. You take spices and you pour the, you spread them out over the coals, and they as they burn, they put up a nice smell. Bein Lohariach, whether you're doing it to create a nice smell, or Ligamru Habayis or Kalim, or to make a smell in the house or into a garment. But if you do it to put help flavor of food, that goes into direct, that's considered normal to do. And that's mutter, even on the gechelis shel eitz. So even though there's potential that when you put on gechelis shel eitz, that might smother it, so you have a kibu issue. So while you're burning the psalmim, you're also being mechaber the fire. So that's not a problem. It's called tzarech hachol nefesh. Now hagah va'asur lischev kois mavusim ala begadim mishum the merlid behen reicha. There's an isser of perfuming a garment. There's no use of perfuming a person. You're allowed to put some type of perfume or deodorant or cologne, whatever it might be, on a person's body. But into a garment, it's usser. Because the isser of merlid reach, because of merlid reach. Now the Shulchan Aruch does point out, however, if the smell is already there, you want to strengthen the smell, just reinvigorate the smell, add a little more. So that's not osur. The isur is the merlid element that you're creating something new. But if it's already there, so moisir reach is mutter, merlid reach is osur. Let's see, Mishnah Berurah is over here.
So if the food had a smell, a lemon, but you put something on that's changing the smell, that would be usher?
They didn't usher on food. They only usher on Kalim.
No, but you're saying that the reason they didn't usher on food is because it already has a smell.
No.
They're strengthening it.
No, they didn't usher. They didn't usher on food in general. The isser is all thick and clean. It's a mirabon, and it's a form of a tikkun kli because you're adding like a new dimension, which wasn't there beforehand. But the oiklim are not really the concept of tikkun, really, for the most part. It goes under the umbrella of the malach of makav patish or the malach of boina. Neither of those are really a shaykh on food. The Yerushalmi discusses is a shaykh the concept of makav patish by oiklim. The Berlocha talks about it back in Simon Shin Yun Ches. And he seems to assume that Malacha Makav Patish doesn't apply to food. It's all Mirabonans, but it's a Mirabonans under the umbrella of such a concept. See what I say?
What would be Bono Makav Patish?
This is sort of adding smell to something. Merlid Reach is an Isser of some element of Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Kli is connected either to Bono or to Makav Patish. Neither which apply to food. That being said, maybe there are one or two exceptions where you apply like the idea of to food, but in general we don't apply burn it to food. The Gemara says, we talk about cheese making, the Gemara discusses that maybe cheese making is considered burn it. And the person also talk about
if a person is making
some type of a form or a picture with food. So, besides kosef, etc., you might have a boner issue. You're putting small pieces together to create larger pieces. Personally, making some type of a food sculpture. So, they want to serve the fish. It's chopped up fish. It's the katuna, but they shape it in the shape of a fish. They put it on the platter. The type of a thing. So Mugmer, the Mishabur Chavalu said that Mugmer is to Dabar Shana Shabbat Chol Nefesh Ela Munogim Veloy Hutter Biyamtiv. It's only for people which are more sensitive, people which are pampered. Munogim is people which are pampered. It's not permitted on Yamtiv. Then Shtiyas Tutin Biyamtiv Ein Veralacha. In regards to Shtiyas Tutin, Shtiyas Tutin means, it's interesting, Titun is smoking. Shtiyah means literally means drinking. A titur was the Yiddish name for the tobacco. It's called titun. So you don't drink tobacco, but it was called at first. It was drinking because you would inhale the smoke. So the that should be an issue of not shabbat chol nefesh. So making a fire which is not for not shabbat chol nefesh is also. That's why Mugmer is also, so her smoking should be the same thing. There are many posts which hold that at the time of the Mishnah was writing, they did not know that smoking is bad for your health. And therefore, there were certain places where it was common to be used regularly. It's called Shabbat Chol Nefesh. People did it, even if people didn't do it because they couldn't afford it, that's not called not Shabbat Chol Nefesh. It means people would do it, just they can't afford it. Whereas they have a reason why they simply don't do it. So there was in some areas it was quite widespread. Many places hold nowadays that it's reverted back to being not Shabbat Chol Nefesh because many people are makbe bedafka not to do it because of health issues. So now it's not Shabbat Chol Nefesh. So it should be also Mikra Adin on Yom Tov.
It is Shabbat Chol Nefesh. It's bad for everybody.
Right. It's not Ochol Nefesh, Shabbat Chol Nefesh. There's a fascinating Pnei Yeshua, which we've discussed before, this idea that Pnei Yeshua says since one cigarette after a meal is beneficial for digestion, which it is, two cigarettes ready after meal depresses the digestion, but one it does the opposite. It actually helps increase the ability for the body to digest the food. So people having a cigarette after a heavy meal would actually help them feel better. And it was good for their health. That's the Pnei Yeshua writes. So that's called Shabbat Chol Nefesh because everybody has the need to have good health. And what could be, cigarettes promote good health. So from that angle, he's right. I told you that Deborah Tziner has a tshuva. He says, "Well, seemingly is now nisbar that the Pnei Yeshua was wrong, the psak was wrong." He said, "Lav davka." He says, "If you lived in a world where there was no pollution in the air, many of these the backwaters of Poland and Russia, there was very little industrialization. It was still a horse and buggy, especially at the time of Pnei Yeshua. It was very little industrialization. He lived in the middle of the 1700s. So the Industrial Revolution really started after that. So in a world where there was very little pollutants in the air of that problem, so the minimal amount a person would absorb from smoking, the lungs were probably strong enough to expel most of the pollutants which would bring it in, the carcinogenics, etc. Nowadays we have so much, our lungs are under so much attack from the air anyway, so the smoking would be that much more hard for the body to be able to expel it, and therefore it's more detrimental. So it actually wasn't necessarily detrimental 200 years ago. And people also smoked very minimally. It was very expensive. So they'd smoke a cigarette after a meal, and that was it. So a person smokes two cigarettes a day. That's basically what it would be. So that combined with the fact that there was very little air pollution, so it really had benefits and had very little in the way of being negative. And I guess the second half of the thought process would be, if the average lifespan lived to be about 55, 60, right? So they say, he smoked, and he turned to me, he's 85, he developed cancer, that was okay. Most people died at the age of 55. So from that vantage point, it was less of an issue. So you can't put Mugmer on Gecholim, Now, the kecholim shall eat.
There are two types of kecholim.
There's a wood coal, a wood charcoal, which is consumed. And then there was that they would sometimes take a piece of pottery or a piece of metal and they would put it into the fire and get very, very extremely hot. He's saying you can't put it on kecholim. What are we referring to? He says, kecholim shalayit afilu im huvaru l'tzarech oichol nefesh, even if the fire was meant to tzarech oichol nefesh, you can't put it on top. The yeshvazem shum mechab. A kecholim betchilas nesinos. And there's kibri involved when you put the mugmer on top. It smothers the fire and some of the flames go out. And then, umavir, Elohim Maver, because Shemar some of them burn, and that's how you know, they little particles and they burn and then they give off the smell. So of course, you can hear him b'shul zeh. So then, he lit the fire with the gecholim of eitz for echol nefesh. That was mutter. It's still also because when you put the gecholim on, you're going to have prama mechaba or maver. And kolskin, if you lit the gecholim for that purpose, that's also to do that. You can't light the gecholim for that purpose. Av gecholim shalcheres, which is it's not shach kibui, or the standard thought process of kibui. Perish cherish shenisa glitzlis of basa. You heated it to the point you could roast on it. Masha b'shas dosis. Even that case is still awesome. And similarly, get some red hot metal. Be the same problem as the case of cherish. But you can't do it for the. Put in the smell of the gecholim, you can't do it. The gamer habayis o'akelim. I mean, chav kimmel. The dafka shoyes is every yom tov. So that's also if you do it on yom tov. Mutar lika mi'er yom tov klisha baros amola in the kavim. Before yom tov, you can do the following: you take a kli which has a lot of holes in it, mash and soy pipsamim, pech in the kavim. They would heat it up. They would heat it up, and they would stuff up the holes so the smell couldn't go out. Marker person in the company, they'd open up the holes. So here, you didn't light anything on Shabbos, which is what we're really concerned about, but rather you lit it in Arab Shabbos. You made the. But the problem is you want the smell, so the solution was that he preserved the smell. How did he preserve the smell? He kept the container very tightly closed. So then the next day, when he opens it up, the smell comes out. So even if you say at that point in time when you open it up, you allow some air in so the fire gets bigger, and therefore it causes a better process of creating better, stronger smell, etc. Right? So that's Nisgar Meila. That wasn't your mice. That would be even in the Shabbos. Scum air, man. Scum air. Yeah,
scum air.
Okay, the matzah machila. You want to make them taste, you want to add flavor or smell to the favorites. Make them sweeter. I feel the flavor of macaque. Even if they're edible as is, they're good, they're decent. But you like to make it better. That's mutter. And then you ought to do it even on the kachel shalates. Chafei. After yesh b'zeh mishum mechaba umaver kanal. So by doing that, either you're going to put out the flame or you cause the flame to get bigger by adding these things which burn. Sure, So it's more to do with if you want to put flavor in food. That's considered a shavu l'chol nefesh function. To add flavor to the food. Ta'af aniyim imisavan lamate chichilosu. To saying that this is part of the actual chila process is called shavu l'chol nefesh. They would like to do this, just nobody, not everybody can afford it. So the more, so that's the example which we spoke about, shechting deer, shechting for venison, even though it's an expensive proposition. And most, unless a person's an usher, only if he's an usher will he do that. It's called shabbat chonefesh to shecht it, because if everybody would be given an opportunity, people would take advantage of the opportunity. So we're also, it's called Shabbat HaNefesh. Because Ani would also like to do that if they could. Now, Vav the Bechardol B'Simon Tavkuf Yud. Also Bechay Yavno. So to putting mustard, case where they really were actually not putting mustard on the firebrand, but the other way around, putting the firebrand into the mustard. Same idea. So, hasam mishum de'efshar mi b'yom shekein darker. So that was what we had before. Your goal there was to caramelize the mustard to make it a little bit sweeter. Your goal over here is to put a flavor in. But over there, the goal was to caramelize it. That could have been done before Yom Tov. You can't say put a flavor in because the flavor diminishes over a period of time. So you want to say that has to be done now. But that wasn't the issue before. The issue over there was making it sweeter, which could have been done in Erev Yom Tov. So Hashem Mishum Ne'afshem Yivad Yom, Shekein Darka, you could have done it beforehand. I'm telling you, you're allowed to do mugmer for food purposes, but you have a limitation even though I'm telling you, allowed to make mugmer for food, but you can't go and light a fire for that purpose. Usher, Allah begun was usher to put a flavor, a smell, a nice smell into clothing. Feel a beggar shemriach kvar, ainly to the love of kedeshi riach yoser. So this is his machlokes. The Magen Rambam says that you cannot make it stronger. And then Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. Mekom Alkom, as we show you Munach, me Erev Yom Tov, I'll beg it, tell him me manu. Mutal Achziroi, the Eino Mariach Yosef Bishulkach. So the Esrog leaves a very, very pleasant smell on the cloth it's rubbed against. So he puts it in cloth, sack A. Now, once you know, so we say that, you already had, well, sorry, I told you can't make a stronger flavor, but over here, it was there from before Yom Tov, the smell of the asterisk, you can put it back. It's not called you making a stronger flavor. So he's understanding, you know, or smell.
How do you taste mugmar?
Mugmar, like an incense which you burn for to make a smell. I'm not familiar with the good one word English translation. So he said, but to put this, to do this process on the beggar is also. Also, Lord, we got him. I did that already. Meshum de Marlin. Vasim and Rabbanan, so Marlin de Rechadish, Karvu, Loisim, Malacha, Chadosh. That's the lesson of Rashi. Rashi explains that Chazal came along and said that with the Zinister making something new, totally new, that's Asr. So who within the Zinister leaving yeshiva without having there's an Isser of making something new in the bag which wasn't there beforehand. It's like you're creating something. So it's not even though there's no real. But, so it's like it's a tikkun, which would therefore be also some type of boina, makapatish mirabona. Reichav and also lead to meyamtiv dabar mariach l'sech mayim kreishir richa. You can't. Sometimes they would put flavor into water to give it a nice flavor, not a smell, give it a nice smell, scented, put a scent into the water, an aroma into the water, for the purpose of just making it smell nicer. So that's not mutter. It's not shabbat on nefesh. Beer lacha deals with the issue of smoking. Okay, simon tov kuf yud beis. You can't cook for non-Jews on Yom Tov. You cannot cook on Yom Tov for Tzarech of a non-Jew. The same way that we make a drasha, you cannot cook on, even though I'm allowed to cook the Tzarech Yom Tov. I'm allowed to cook even not the Tzarech Yom Tov. But I cannot cook for a non-Jew. You cannot cook for the kusim, even though not even a non-Jew, but a kusi also you can't cook for. What do you have over there? Akum. That first phrase in the Tav Kuf Yud Beis. The Tzar Goyim. You have. What do you have?
The star. You see right here.
Yeah.
Star.
Kusim. Kusim was also kusim.
Okay.
The kusim, at one point in time, according to the woman Dharma, had it in a Gary Amos. So obviously you'd be allowed to cook for them in Yom Tov, but eventually they moved away from that until Chazal gave them a din like a non-Jew. So now, so there's an issur d'oraisa to cook for them, there's an issur d'rabbanan to invite them, lest one might be careless and cook for them, mistakenly. Okay, but dafka lahazmino, the issue is it's simply you invite them, and the Ramah adds lebesa, because that's the place where you would be cooking, and you potentially end up cooking more for him. So, person is mazman, a non-Jewish friend for a meal. Guy says, "I'm not saying I love to have a tea. So no problem. I'll put up the teapot." Right? So that's an issur d'oraisa. You're cooking on Yom Tov, cooking this water on Yom Tov, the circle of goy.
I thought it was individual portions, you know, just to cook them. You can't cook anything for them. You can't.
There's an issur d'oraisa to cook for them. So Reba Bishurim is mutter. But Reba Bishurim is if I'm cooking for myself and having a cup of coffee also, I can in one action I can put double amount of water and he'll have water also. That's fine and dandy if I'm trying to drink a cup of coffee. If I'm not drinking a cup of coffee, I'm just cooking for him. That's an issur d'oraisa. Came along Chazal and said, listen, you know, that's a very common scenario, especially with Zman, they didn't have refrigeration, so they would cook the meal. So the guy says, you know, I'm still hungry, so no problem, I'll put on another piece of chicken for you. That's an issur d'oraisa. He's putting it up for the non-Jew. This is to invite him to your home. But to send him food to have in his house, that you're, you know, that there's no issur for that. But to send to his home is mutter. Where's the page? Fine. So that is. I will The issue was to invite the person. So inviting the person was also that you feel a responsibility to make sure that he has a nice meal because you invited him. And there was a possibility you might try to do something to make sure, i.e. forget the adjunctive and do Arba Bishiloi. But in case he came and invited himself to you, or your Eved, which, right, I'm not going to be Marv Shiloh, he gets what he's supposed to get, we measure how he's supposed to get, that's it, I'm not going to give him extra. I wouldn't want to give him extra. So situations, we're not worried about being Marv Shiloh, it's a mutter. We're not afraid they'll be Marv Shiloh. Like we put that before, even though there's an issue a person is making a pot of food for himself, he wants to before he puts the pot on the fire, I mean, in one action, it can't be two separate actions, before he puts the pot on the fire,
before he puts the pot on the fire.
Right, it has to be in one action. So, but one action, we said that's mut. It's not even a the person wants to go and put up a larger pot of water to have water for himself and for his non-Jewish guest. Right. So, so he says, for the purpose of your Eved and your Shifcha, not for the non-Jewish guests, but for the Eved and the Shifcha, we're most saying we're going to allow it, because it's your responsibility to feed them, but you can't cook for them. So what's the eight? So the eight is cook for yourself and make sure there's enough for them also. That's a haroma. Yeah, we're mounted the haroma for that need, necessity.
But if you have six pieces of chicken and one of the pieces of chicken is going to the non-Jew, that's still not considered cooking for the non-Jew because it's really sharing. If you have six total people, one of them's not Jewish, you have six pieces of chicken.
Again, what was the case?
So you have six people.
Right.
One of them's not Jewish, you have six pieces of chicken. That's not considered...
Okay, if you put all the pieces of chicken into the pot in one shot, you put the pot in the fire in one shot, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. If I decide to go roast piece of chicken, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's when you have your problem.
Yeah.
Right. But we did not allow you to be marbe bedafka for your evidence. We allow you to actually go intentionally be marbe. We lie on the head to marbe. For goy, we're not going to allow you to go intentionally to be marbe. Okay, we saw every batana shakusi. So here's they had a communal oven which belonged to one individual, and everybody would use it. They'd pay some type of rental. So in a scenario where it was the goy's oven, and the yeshiva was coming to bake there, and that was they didn't use trefir ingredients in their food, so that wasn't the problem. So the arrangement was that the owner of the oven would be paid in food. He would take part of what you bake there. So if you bake 10 loaves, he gets one loaf. So it comes out one of these loaves is being baked for the goy. So we said this: Lo yachal kusi echod kadem afia. Don't designate which loaf is going to the. If you designate which loaf is before you bake it, then you can't bake it. Don't designate one specific pile of dough before you bake it. So that's the one for the goy. It's correct. So now you can't bake it. Those have a shalkusi. You bake stam. Remember they can always bake a little bit extra just in case, etc. Now I have a tovra. I give the goy. So we're holding in set base. Okay. Mishabur is a cotton olive. I'm a vashin. Within the chomalacha, she mutter lasses b'shayisil b'shil nachriyosa. So any malacha which is mutter for a Jew would be also for a non-Jew. The tzara kusim. So it's lav dafka cooking. Any malach would be a problem. Shul nachri is also the tzara kusim and see by shei yachel lachol nefesh shulam al yosel lachem. Chazal lachem below the kusim has to be for you, meaning the main corpus of klai yisol, not the fringe elements of the kusim. Lachem below the klal we also darshan lachem and not for animals. The tzara karoyim. So here is Mr. Burr weighs in on a significant question: how do we deal with the karoyim? So what's the problem with the karoyim? Karoyim are Jews which have undertaken to be like goyim because they're not becabal of the validity of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's one of your Gimelei Krim is the validity of the Torah Shabbat Peh. They're denied. So that's it. But you could argue that that's only the first generation. The first generation made a conscious decision. The second generation grows up. This is what Judaism is. This is what religion is. I do some rabbinic Judaism somewhere else. You know, no, we'll worry about that. You know, I mean, right now, I don't have to worry about it. So they don't know any better. So they don't know any better. Do you give them a din like a goy? So the Rambam says that you do not give them a din like a goy. Only the first generation, which made the decision to change from the rabbinic approach to Torah to this new approach, that generation has been like an upper curse. But next generation says, well, they know that's what their father did, so their grandfather did that. That's what it's supposed to do. And so they consider it Tinikshon Yishpa. Tinikshon Yishpa literally means a child which was captured and transported amongst the Goyim in the far distant land. He never saw Judaism. So when he finally is released and captured, he comes back, he realizes he's been the Chalal Shabbos. So what, how many kronos does he bring? So that's where we introduced this idea that, you know, he was an onus, he didn't know any better. The Ramban argues in the Rambam, that's the Farshah Rambam. The Rambam says that B'nei HaKiroyim do not have a delicate of Apikorsim. Just the Kiroyim himself, they're not the children of the Kiroyim. But there's Ramban in Perkei Zeh Neshech and Bab Metziva who argues in the Rambam and says that this halacha of Tinashe Nishpa is only as long as he's Nishpa. Once he comes back amongst the Yishuv of Jews, he has responsibility to go to the nearest Jew and say, excuse me, how am I supposed to keep Shabbos? And find out he's supposed to keep Shabbos. And if that guy doesn't answer him, go to the next guy. So Tinashe Nishpa. Once you've been exposed to authentic Judaism, authentic Torah Judaism, so you can't use his argument that he's Tinashe Nishpa anymore. He has an option, be Mavar. This heter of Tinikshon Yishpa doesn't apply anymore. Because he had an option. He could have learned. He didn't realize it. He thinks, listen, there's three types. There's four types of Judaism. There's Orthodox, conservative, reform, and reconstructionist. And then, oh, listen, you know, a person's born in family reconstructionist. He's a reconstructionist. That's what he thinks. So I met an Orthodox Jew, but doesn't motivate me to change. Rabban says no. You had an opportunity to find out what's it all about. You chose not to. So you're not a Tinikshon Yishpa anymore. So this is Machlokes Rishonim, Machlokes in Rambam and Ramban. There's no final hachra on this issue. In this Machlokes Rishonim. So unless you have some other good svaras, it's hard to just rely on that alone to say that these people have the intention of Nishpa and they don't have this issue. So Yesh Matirim, the Torah Mehem, Minagam Zem Yudem, they don't know any better. But however, that is, even if that's true, but Mishmur seems to say that he would be more inclined towards that Zohar. But regards to a Mumr, a Jew who's a Mumr, to do about a Zohar, or to Michal Shabbos for Hesia, it's a din like a goy. So now that's the question which comes up, the person who's a Michal Shabbos, Zohar, that's what he is, right?
What Zohar does the Mishnah?
He's a Mumr, Michal Shabbos for Hesia. It's a dinner ka'akum. I'm sorry, Tzvi.
What's hard? It's Mishnah, the brewer, and I it's more inclined towards.
Well, he says the sword minimus habiyadei tarim heim minimus habiyadei, which the Rambam shit. That's not their fault. They make the mistake. They believe that's what he's supposed to do. So if I'll do it. They didn't make the decision to walk away from. But a person who's a mummer, or he's a person a mummer, which means he's established himself that he's not does not attempt to control himself. Or the chalshav hesis did a kach. A person with chalshav hesis instead like a goy. So do you say the same story over there? It's not considered that so unless he had an opportunity to know better. Okay, that's debatable. You have to figure out what the C is. That's a little bit harder. So in a way, it's easier and sort of harder because he's still alive. I'm sorry, I don't want to say that. My mind was thinking of something else. So what do you do with this issue with Chal Shabbos or Hestia? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be makel on it. But there's two issues over here. There's one issue of cooking for that. Another issue of inviting them. Right? So that's a major problem. Even if you get bad, so you want to invite them. You want to invite your non religious relatives to come for the Seder. Kiruv. I mean, Kiruv is all this. No problem. A Yom Tov. Yeah, Kapparayin and Yom Tov. We're going to have like. Right? So it's a problem. It's not so posh that it's mutter. It's not so. If it's family, you could argue it's mutter to do it, because. We'll see later on that the cases where there's an issue of Aver, Dark Hashem, they took away the rabbinic issue of inviting them. They weren't matzah cooking for them. So now I got them in the door. Okay. So now, how much cooking do I do in Yom Tov? Right. Most of the food is already cooked. That's not the issue. Warming up food, which is already cooked, is not the issue. Heating up the soup, in bishul achar bishul. So the only problem is that I want to make a cup of coffee. So I should be careful. Make a cup of coffee. I should make one cup of coffee myself also. That once I can get around the issue of inviting them, so then I'm good to go. It's all the